Ezekiel was a priest in Jerusalem, but he was taken captive by the Babylonians, and he lived in Babylon. And while he was in Babylon, he became famous as a prophet and as a preacher to the Jews. He was a very mysterious man who had supernatural visions. And his visions were as mysterious, I believe, as he was. If you want to watch a Bible student squirm, ask the Bible student to explain to you the six visions of Ezekiel from the book that bear his name. Now, just in case somebody here doesn't know what a vision is, biblically speaking, here is one definition. A vision is something seen in a dream or in a trance or with religious ecstasy. It's usually filled with supernatural images and appearances that bring some sort of revelation to the person who is having the vision. Now, some people love the idea of visions, and some of them reject them as just tiptoeing through fantasy land. Regardless, here's something you cannot deny. Visions in the Bible were one of the primary ways that God communicated with his people. And one of the very first visions that's recorded in the Bible are the visions of Ezekiel in his book, where he tries to describe the indescribable. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to measure the universe? Verse 1, he said, "The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." He then described very dramatic scenes using words like these: windstorm, flashing lightning, brilliant light, four living creatures with four faces and four wings, a wheel, and a wheel within a wheel, all full of eyes. And he goes on to describe the expanse above all of that, sparkling like ice. Now, when the four living creatures moved, he heard sounds. And he said there sounded like rushing water or the approach of an army. Now, some people might be tempted to stop right there and say, what was he on? Our response, however, should not be to ask, what was he on? But to ask, who was on him? Because the Bible clearly defines the source of these types of visions as the Holy Spirit of God. Now, was there a point to the visions that Ezekiel had? Yes, of course there was. In the expanse above the creatures, Ezekiel described what he saw this way. Verse 26. Above the expanse, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of sapphire. Can you get a picture of that in your head? A throne looking like sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure that looked like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. And here it comes, verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. And then thankfully, Ezekiel interpreted all of that for us. He said, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell face down. I would too. And I know you would too. We have to envy Ezekiel because he was given a glimpse of the glory of God that defied human language. He could barely figure out how to tell us what he saw. And the best word that he could find to sum it all up was that it looked as beautiful as a rainbow. The rainbow is a very powerful symbol in the Bible. And I'm sure you remember the first time the rainbow is mentioned in the Bible, the culmination of the story of Noah. And God said, "This rainbow is a sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." The next time the word rainbow appears in the Bible is in the vision of Ezekiel that we just read. And then the word does not appear in the Bible again until we get to the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, John's vision. Chapter 4. John said, "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, a rainbow resembling an emerald, and circled the throne." I love rainbows. As a child, I can remember the thrill of seeing a beautiful, complete rainbow, especially when the clouds behind the rainbow are dark and the rainbow contrasts so vividly against those clouds. I don't think that kind of thrill ever diminishes. I think probably everyone of all ages now get excited when they see a rainbow, and I think they should. Not only is it a sign of God's covenant, but it is also a symbol of the glory of God himself. Now, please don't get hung up on the fact that the gays have adopted the rainbow as a symbol. I even struggled a little bit with creating this bulletin cover because of what some people think about the rainbow. They say, we can't do that. The gays have taken it over. God had the rainbow first. Amen. It was appropriated by Satan when the gays took it over. Just like their behavior is controlled by Satan. The rainbow is good. It is very good. And I see all types of parallels in the Bible. The qualities of the rainbow and the qualities of God himself. And I want to share some of those thoughts. Let's start with this one. A rainbow is beautiful. There are very few things in creation that are as beautiful as seeing droplets of water dancing in the streams of in the light and the streams of water. I think you know what I'm trying to say. The colors are inviting, and the colors are heartwarming. God is like that. God is inviting, and God is heartwarming. Psalm 50, verse 2, "From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth." That's part of the reason that it is such a joy to praise and worship God. And I hope that every time you worship, whether it's here or anywhere else, I hope every time you have an opportunity to worship, you experience that joy in him. Now, one of the reasons that the rainbow is so beautiful is because of the spectrum of colors. Isaac Newton studied the spectrum of color, and he declared something very interesting about the colors in that spectrum. He was able to identify red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Did you count those as I was listing them? There are 7 of them. Not 6, not 8, 7. The biblical number for perfection. God is like that. God is perfect. Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 3, which we read earlier. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. Now, I am not perfect. If Judy Hooks was still here, she would say amen out loud right now. I'm not. And you're not perfect either. Only God is perfect in all his ways. And that's another reason that it's such a joy to worship God and praise him and bathe in the fact that he is perfect. By the way, I happen to love what Isaac Newton also said about the seven colors of the rainbow and the seven notes of the Western musical scale. As a musician, I'm not going to try to make anything out of that right now, but I like it. Now, the human eye can see an astonishing array of shades of color. Some scientists say that we can actually distinguish about millions of shades of color. And still, we cannot see all of the colors because they're hidden from us. Why? Because our color vision is limited. God is like that. We cannot see him fully as he is through the limitations of our vision. To see God requires spiritual eyes, as wonderful and mysterious as the visions we were talking about earlier. Exodus 33:20, God said, no one may see me and live. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. 1 Timothy 6:16, God is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. I don't know what to believe about the stories that we read sometimes about people who've had near-death experiences or have died and been resuscitated, and they report what they saw. But perhaps you've read some of them too. Some people say, I saw colors I'd never seen before. I don't know what to think about that, except I like it. I hope it's true. I imagine it is. Did you know that when you see a rainbow, that it's not located where you think it is? Its location is an optical illusion. You cannot even see a rainbow at all unless you view the water droplets from a specific angle related to the source of the light. You cannot approach a rainbow in the sky. Even though it is real and it appears to be a physical object, it's not. You cannot touch it. You can't. God is like that. Even though we cannot see him, he is right in front of us. He's there, right in front of you, right now. And that's not an optical illusion. Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 23. Am I only a God nearby? God is nearby. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Do I not fill heaven and earth. Did you follow that? Am I not the God that fills heaven and earth, declares the Lord? God is spirit. And that's why we are told to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's like a rainbow. You see, the closer you get to it, the more it seems to move away. Because it's literally everywhere you are at the time. That's how God is. You cannot touch a rainbow. You cannot touch God. But he is right there, where you are right now. And he can touch you. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the spectrum of colors in a rainbow, we don't usually mention the color white. One of the mysteries of color is the color white. Why is that? Because, as I imagine you know, white is actually a combination of all the colors. Black is the absence of all color. White is the combination of all colors. So a rainbow is actually one color, white. But it reveals itself to us in many colors. The many become one. The one becomes many. The diverse become unified. That's how the Trinity is, and that's how God wants us to be. As covenant fellowship, as the church. Jesus prayed for that in John 17, verse 20. He said, I pray also for those who will believe me, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may we also be in us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then Paul says this in Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to be one, to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and is through all and in all. When the world looks at us, they see many colors. But in truth, we are all one color. Because the many have become one, like the colors of the spectrum, like a rainbow. When John described you and me, when John described believers in his vision in the book of Revelation, he describes us in a variety of ways. He called us warriors. He also called us witnesses. He called us worshipers. He called us wedding guests, all dressed in white. The church, of which we are a part, is a variety of colors. And we're called to be all one color. Now here's something else we need to remember. In the sky, it takes both the sun and the clouds to make a rainbow. Now this may sound trite, but we need to remind ourselves of it. Life is like that as well. It's filled with sun and it's filled with clouds. It's filled with darkness and it's filled with light. You cannot appreciate the sun until you have wandered through some clouds. And it's interesting that when God appears in the Bible, he is often accompanied by those things, the sun and the clouds. like Ezekiel trying to describe the glory of God as it appeared like a rainbow, you and I could never fully describe him. We can't describe God himself. How do you describe the one who calls himself, I am? 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Finally, think about this. We all have explored all sorts of parallels between God and rainbows. We've talked about his beauty. We've talked about his perfection. We've talked about the fact that he is hidden from our sight, yet he's right there with us. We've talked about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. We've talked about God, the great I am. Yet there is only one explicit meaning of the rainbow in the Word of God, and it is that it is a sign of the covenant, the promise of God to never again destroy life by means of a flood. That's not just a promise to mankind. That's a promise to all of creation. And God added that every time he sees a rainbow, he will remember his covenant with us. His promises to us. His contract with us. He is eternal. Immortal. Invisible, loving God, and he holds you in the palm of his hands. No matter what you may do or fail to do, God keeps his promises. So every time you see a rainbow, stop and thank him for his faithfulness, his covenant. Thank you for that quality of his that is behind that symbol of the rainbow, and all the qualities that are there, I think, can come down to a word, patience. God is patient with me, with you. And that's the reality of God. It's his peace, his shalom. And you know, it says that God, in that vision, looked like he was surrounded by a rainbow. Well, that means that God sees a rainbow all the time. He never stops seeing a rainbow. So how could he possibly forget his covenant with you and his gift for you? The Hebrew word for rainbow is kisheth. And the literal meaning of that word, kisheth, is bow. As in bow and arrow. So God was literally saying that he was placing a weapon in the sky as a sign of his promise of life. And that promise formed the backdrop of every covenant that God gave us, including the new covenant in Jesus Christ. The God of the rainbow literally takes his bow against sin, his weapon against our sin. And the God of the rainbow took flesh and gave it to us, and broke bread and gave it to us, and poured out his blood for us and our forgiveness. It was a battle, and he won. So the next time you see a rainbow, pause and for a moment reflect on the multicolored wisdom of God the Father, the one who made it and who gave it to us. And thank him for his promise of eternal life with him. And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.